Conversate for a few.
Welcome to another Welcome to another episode of Conversate for a Few. I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This is not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely is not. This is a podcast about hip hop. Nigga, I got into a conversation last night, bro, and it was a healthy banter. But you know how it is. If I say I was in a healthy banter, that means I got passionate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I was talking to Mills. I was talking to DJ Top Hat. I was talking to Loso Coleon. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was talking to my man Kid from the studio over at Studio Vault. And we just got to talking about the difference between an MC and a recording artist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm just going to and state my stance, my take. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If you call yourself a rapper or an MC and you can't not even perform your song, you can't say your song from top to bottom without background vocals or a hype man, you probably can't rap that well and you probably write bad songs.
Mm. Hmm.
Period. Mm. Like a song, if you can't sing your song from top to bottom without punching in and without taking a breath and stopping, then how in the fuck do you think your fan can sing your song from top to bottom?
Yeah.
You suck. And I don't care who you are. I don't give a fuck who you, like he was like, so you saying Meek Mill can't rap? I'm saying, yo, Meek Mill sucks as an MC. Either he sucks as an MC, yeah, or he started writing bad songs. Mm-hmm. Right? Period. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? You could be a good recording artist. You can be somebody that can go to the studio and write songs and go in the booth and be able to lay them down, and they be songs that people enjoy because the marketing puts it in front of people enough until they decide they're going to enjoy it. But that doesn't mean you created some quality, and that don't mean you're good at what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah,
straight up. Something completely different.
Yeah. So immediately when you say this, like the contrast between the recording artist and the MC, two things come to mind. For the recording artist side, I think about the performance at Dreamville recently that I missed, but you saw, which is a little dirt performance.
Okay.
You can speak on that.
Absolutely.
But immediately when I think about MC, I think about Jadakiss' performance at the Versus, right?
Ah, okay.
Because he's saying from start to finish, spitting his verses, right? No background joint playing. He rapping over nothing. Showing one, he got breath control. Showing one that he knows how to write and know what he wrote and how to perform it in pocket.
Yeah.
I think to me that is a great picture, but you know, between the two, I don't even want to say extremes, between two perspectives we're talking about, is those
absolutely
two.
And I 100% agree. Now I'm gonna keep Dirk in there, right? And this is just for reference for people, because we use Dirk at Dreamville as a reference, I'm gonna use someone else at Dreamville for a reference. And during this part of the show, I happened to be watching Dreamville Fest on Amazon with my mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's not a hip hop fan. Like, there are some hip hop songs she's liked because it's been around for 50 years. You see what I'm saying? But she's not a fan of hip hop. She probably couldn't even tell me who sing half of the songs she liked in hip hop, right?
Yeah.
But she could clearly see the difference between what Dirk was doing on stage and what Jig was doing on stage.
Yeah, I already knew it. Yeah.
There was a clear and distinct difference. And I looked at it, I was like, yo, you see the difference in that? She was like, she was like, that boy right there, he doing it. Like, he really doing it. That other boy won't even saying nothing. She was like, I don't even know why he was up there. The DJ could have just played Dirt music and Dirt not walked out on stage and it'd been the same fucking thing we got.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But JID was up there. Now, what I will say is she was saying JID was saying too many words. Like, she was like, yo, that little boy say a lot of words. Like, he's saying too many words for her to, follow in a live setting. Yeah. You got to listen to it over and over. You got to be a fan. You got to invest in it and learn it and know what it is that you listen to. So he is a bit wordy, but even in that lets you know that he's a supreme MC. Supreme MC. Mm-hmm. You can come out here and have that level of energy from beginning to end, not miss no words, and have that many words to say. When then in juxtapose to Dirt having almost no words on his songs, and still you go on stage and you can't say them shits. Who the fuck told that nigga he could rap? And the next motherfucker to tell me he can rap gonna have a problem on their hands, gonna have an argument. Like, stop it. DJ Top Hat brought up Meek Mill. And I was like, he sucked, like, today. And I'm not telling you there was a time in real life where Meek Mill would eat your face off as an MC. Young Meek Mill standing on the streets of Philly with them dusty-ass braids, rhyming in that camera, was an MC.
Yeah.
Was an MC, raw. Bar for bar, eat your face off an MC. He got into that studio, became a recording artist, and it wiped MC off his plate. Started doing mad punch-ins. You see what I'm saying? Overlapping lines, writing bad songs. Because if your lines are overlapping too much, that song's not good. You can't sing the song. If you go to church, they don't punch in. They start at the beginning of the song, and they sing the bitch to the end of the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
You know? So don't miss me with the recording artist. Miss me with that person.
Yeah.
Anybody could be that. Anybody could be taught to be a recording artist. Where's the artist development? Because once we got this song recorded, and Top Hat had a good point. He was like, because we was making the same point. It's just like these are functions of a record company, they just on different floors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got the recording part. You got the person that finds the talent, that puts the songs together, that records the songs. Now you got to have somebody that makes sure this person can go out and execute these songs in public. Somebody to develop the artist side of this person, outside of the recording artist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then you're going to have another faction in that building that gets that particular thing attention. But when this thing over here finishes, like, does its job getting the attention, you need to have that artist developed in a way that you're not showing something that's trash. And all you got are good records.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, agreed.
So in today's industry, like you got a full building, but it's like they doing the recording artist part, they doing the promotion part, but they're not doing the development part. So when the people really see the artist, you're not seeing a fully developed artist. You seeing a recording artist, not an MC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pay to see them. And I'm not going to pay to see them.
Yeah, nah.
And I'm going to discourage, other motherfuckers from paying to see them.
Yeah, you might as well just stay home and listen on your phone. What's the point?
Do you see a fix for it, or?
Well, I guess that are they concerned with artist development anymore? Labels? I don't know. See, I don't know if that position is even being, it exists, but I don't know if it's being utilized to help the artist develop.
Yeah.
Or I feel like they're just trying to get music out there as fast as possible, throw them out there behind the music, hoping that if the music is, you know, viral or hit on TikTok, like, it don't matter. We can just put them out there. They can just perform however, because they feel like the music is going to sell. So they don't have to. That's why I feel like in this new era, that's how they look at it.
Yeah, and I agree. I think they're also training the next generation to accept less from an artist.
Oh, yeah. The bar has definitely less quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you got a generation of people that's 18 and under right now, and you know what I mean, 20 and under right now, they may have never seen an artist that performs without a backing track.
Right. Now let me ask you this, because you said they're setting the stage, no pun intended, for you know, for generation, you know, the generation now to accept lower, you know, a lower basically standard of performance, a lower quality. We already agreed that the quality of the music has been reduced and people have been accepting it. Right. So here's the question. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to move people in a way to where they accept lower quality music and lower, you know what I mean, standards for performances or execution of the music public? Why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
You know why I want to do that? Because it's easier. I can make more money. It's cheaper.
Yep.
I can get it out faster. It's
assembly line.
Assembly line.
Yeah.
Your real art.
Yeah, anything, art. There you go. Exactly.
To develop, to nurture real it, to art grow. Take time.
Yeah. To understand that you're an artist. To gain your own artistic expression and figure out how do we know your own artistic expression and how you want to display it.
The monetization of music. We have to look at that, particularly when it comes to rap. How did it affect? And we have, but like the monetization of music, how does it affect? Because people were doing music before he's ever getting paid. All of us, you and I, we did music and tried to produce the best quality of music before we ever made a dollar off of anything, selling the CD, a tape, or whatever.
Bro, most before we ever thought about,
They got
We was doing that. We was highly concerned with the quality of what we was doing, with no intention of making nothing to sell.
Right.
We wasn't thinking about making nothing to sell. We just wanted to make something fire. We wanted the ability to make fire.
Right. And but you wanted people to hear it, right? So we were concerned with putting good art out in the world.
Into the world. Yep.
Yep. Because we felt the world would be better with this good art.
And it is.
And it is.
Hey, are we old and saying get off our lawn?
Nah.
Is that what's happening in real time? I don't think so either.
Because we're talking about,
you know, I'm gonna tell you. Right. Now I will tell you this. The older I get and the further I get away from the beginning of doing what I was doing, I start to realize, and we've said this on the show again, that hip hop and our era was part of the decline of the quality.
Yeah.
Because we moved away from true instrumentation and moved towards the sample. We moved away from having a drummer and towards a drum machine. We moved away from, you see what I'm saying? We took the place of a band and put a DJ and a microphone in its place. So part of that decline is our fault. But I'm able to see now that everything in moderation, right? Mm-hmm. We were trying to keep as much of the purity in it as we could while still doing something completely new.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We were trying to keep as much, which is why, easiest way to put it, which is why there was such an uproar when Fruity Loops hit the system, when it hit the scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people felt like that was removing part of the humanity from what we was doing. That was a little, it did a little, but it wasn't as extreme as we thought it was.
Right. But here's the irony. Go ahead. I don't want to cut you. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, but all I was going to say is I think now the technology is doing way more than it should. That's all I was headed to. And it's making the music worse.
I agree. And I don't think that the new artists, like you said, we was trying to preserve as much of the purity while doing something new. Like, so no one has a problem with someone doing something new, but are you still going to try to preserve some of the purity and the principles of it while doing something new?
Right.
And that, I don't think, is what's being done. And that feeds into the lower quality of the music. But here's the funny thing. The first step, because we can get super, you know what I mean, technical if we want to, but the first step in dehumanizing or removing the humanity in music is moving from live performance to actually recording. See, this that's digital. That's the first. You're removing the actual performance. Now, here's the irony. After you record and put out recording albums, see, that's a recording of you. That is you. That is your voice, but that's not really you in real time. Right? So you so you put out recorded music, but the funny thing is you still have to revert back to the very first performing live. So then everyone go and tour, concert, live performance.
Yep. Yep. That's absolutely right.
But with each here's the gift and the curse. And that's why we gotta find out how do we balance this thing, right? Is because technology is good because it's moving forward. You no longer have to, you know, make a loop like you and maybe others did when you play something, stop it, rewind it, record, play it again. They have to piece them all together for a long enough loop to wrap up, right? You know what I mean?
So I did that.
Yeah. And so now a machine comes out and it does it for you. Good. That's great, right? We can get this quicker. We can get to the art, right? So the problem is you move from performance to recording. Okay, that's one of the first removals of humanity of the music. Then you talk about replacing the drummer with drum machines, right? So each time
more humanity removed. Yeah.
Yeah, the more equipment or the more technology is advancing and getting introduced into the music, the deeper and deeper, we don't even understand. We've been headed to AI. Going back to a previous conversation, we've been headed to AI this whole time. We've just got going to the digital rabbit hole.
Which kind of speaks to your point from before. You have to go back to the other episode to hear it, but I'll reiterate it here. That speaks to your point that there's a high likelihood that all this stuff was in existence and being tested and used somewhere else before we got hold to it, so they would know exactly how to present it to us to make it the most viable.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I say it's a gift and a curse because I know you was very happy when you no longer had to, you know, stretch out loops the long way and you had a machine that could do it for you, right? So that's good. And you're still moving with the same integrity and desire to make good quality music. See, so there's nothing wrong with the new technology if technology is being used right. The problem is we're at a point now where technology can be abused. And it's more about making a fast dollar than producing quality art. And when that happens, then you're going to get an imbalance.
Yeah, in the integrity of the person using it. Yes, that's right. The integrity of the person using it has waned a lot. One thing I wanted to point out that it came to my mind while we was talking is, you know, we're talking the difference between an MC and a recording artist, right? When you get to it's levels to everything, right? So say Glorilla. She's fairly new. She's got a hit. You know what I mean? So she's going to be in front of large audiences. She's going to be in front of large audiences without much practice. Because her hit came fast and they haven't done any, they haven't taken the time or had the time. Because I don't know who you mean. I'm not going to blame them. Obviously, I was taking the time or had the time to do real artist development. So she looks horrible on stage.
Terrible.
Right? And then you get to the next level of somebody like a Dirt that's been around for some while. They know how to handle themselves on stage, but they don't know what to do with that microphone on stage. They know how to ride the energy. They know how to interact with the crowd. They just don't know how to rap. You see what I mean? But he's a star.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then you get to the level of somebody like a Cole or Drake or Beyonce. Or you won't hear a backing vocal. You may hear background singers. You know what I mean? But their level of artistry has been developed to a point where they can get in front of that same stage, that same crowd, and perform
yes.
their music. You know what I mean? With a high enough level of quality where it feels familiar. It's not just like, what in the hell is this that this person is doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some in some instances, they're going to sound just like the record. In some instances, they're going to bring a flair that the record didn't have. You know what I mean? Like there's levels to all of, but your top tier artists are both great recording artists, great recording artists and superior MCs or performers.
Right.
You know, so there doesn't have to be a difference. There doesn't have to be a difference between a great recording artist and an MC and a great MC and a great performer. That doesn't have to be a difference. They could be one and the same. They could be one person can embody all of that. We just don't see a lot of it now.
Right.
And when we do see it, it's a lot more rare.
Right. And then one of the true MCs and good recording artists, I think you agree, what that came to mind, right, when you said that, it has like high level execution of MC artistry and is a good recording artist is Black Thought. Like when I look at how he, you know what I mean? He certain songs that he's done. And then when I look at him actually perform his songs or, you know what I mean? Or just perform anything live. Like he's great on both sides.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. And I'm gonna be honest. Cole is definitely a good one.
Cole is a good one.
Cole is a good one. And one thing about Cole that I will say, this may sound crazy. One thing about Cole in the context of Black Thought, Cole writes better songs.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
You know what I mean? So when you see Cole on stage, there's an attachment to what he's saying as well as how he's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
With Black Thought, there's more of an attachment to how he's saying it because he's just so nice at what he's doing. But he's not such a great songwriter. He's more of a great MC.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Cole, you know what I mean? That's why I mean there's levels to it. So you can be a great recording artist. You can write great songs and you can go on stage and be a great performer. You know what I mean? Like that's what I expect.
Yeah.
Not that Thought don't write great songs. It's just a different level of song that Thought's trying to get across something else. Thought trying to do what Cole was trying to do ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a marketplace way. Right. You know what I mean? I don't think Black Thought was ever even considering that they could go as far as they went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think J. Cole 100% believed he could be a star.
Yes. Yeah. And wanted to. And you can see it.
And he wanted to be a star. Yeah. And yes, was aiming for it. So, but he didn't lose his artistry in that.
Yeah.
He felt like his artistry was what was going to make him a star, you know, and I feel like it did.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, and that's just one example. And of course, the other example would be somebody like Kendrick. It would be, but I think your example of Jadakiss is perfect, though.
Yeah.
It's perfect. You know, a hell of a recording artist, a hell of an MC, a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a bell cow when you want to point out the differences. You know, like when you want to point out the differences, you could definitely say his name, like the difference between a recording artist and a. I'm just tired of these niggas, bro. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of it. And I'm afraid of his acceptance. I guess that's where this conversation came from. I'm afraid of his acceptance by the younger generation and not knowing the difference, you know. And then you get somebody like me that'll try to have this conversation with him and tell them that there is a difference and there's a likelihood that I'm going to get you just an old head. Sit down, old timer, stay on Facebook. You feel me? Like, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen because they just don't know. Like, they're going to assume that I'm hating. I'm like, no, I'm not hating. It's right. Like, but I, you know, with some good rationale, if you're talking to rational people, once you start making the argument like that, if you love a song, wouldn't you want to be able to sing it from beginning to end? Like, sing your heart out from beginning to end without taking a break.
Yeah.
You should want to be able to do that.
Right. And the most times thing,
you can't.
And that church point is such a great point, man.
Yeah. When I brought that out yesterday, that kind of just, niggas was like, yeah, I guess you're right, bro. Because what it is because we've been around recording and we've been around the industry, we've been around studios so long that punching in is a part of life. So the acceptance of how songs are made and what a song does in the marketplace being the response to whether it's good or not has tainted whether we making good songs.
Go ahead. Because I remember my point. I want you to go ahead, get that off.
I was just saying yesterday I was not going to accept that just because they perform well that you're going to tell me it's good. Like, stop that. That's not valid in this conversation that we having right here. You know what I mean? And it finally got to that point where they were like, you're right. I think the church, like you said, that church statement finally got them to the point where they were like, oh, that's what you mean. You're right. You know, but what was you going to say? My bad.
I was going to say, with this whole thing, again, it's funny, man, Hov was ahead of his time again, because we having this conversation about this. There was a time he prided himself, right? He was calling himself One Take Hov. He won't that's punch right. in, doing no punch ins.
That's right.
Right? Even in the song Hovy Baby, where he said, I unwrapped the gift and the curse in one session.
That's right. That's right. Right.
It was a thing. See, the standard was always up by our favorite artists. They used to hold the standard up here. They ain't been doing a lot of punching in and taking mad time to record your verse over and over. I'm One Take Hold.
Nah.
You know what I mean? And so,
and so
it's like, I don't know who that didn't transfer somewhere. The integrity
exactly.
of getting to the studio. Exactly. See, now for us, it transferred to me just because
Pro of people. Tools.
Right. That's right. But for me, it transferred to me, right? Because the people I was around was like, number one, like, you got to be able to just spit your verses all the way through and, like, do your whole song, right? And also money. You know how expensive it was to come to the studio. So we didn't have a lot of time to be damn doing a whole lot of punching in and messing up your – bro, when we go to studio and record, I assume you have your whole song memorized and you're not going in reading off no paper. You got everything that's memorized and you're spitting it straight through.
And it sounds better when you got it memorized anyway and spit it straight through, because by the time you get to the end of your – exactly. By the time you get to the end of that verse, you should have more emotion than you started with. And your listening audience should be able to feel that. Another point to your studio time point, right? In our era, there were no hip hop studios in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have an engineer that understood how to punch you in. If you went in there and didn't know your verse, you didn't get a song.
Yeah,
I mean, them white boys won't punch in shit for us, bro. They didn't even want to be recording hip hop.
Right, right.
For real. You know what I mean? So, and I'm hard on people. I'm hard on people because I did it. I know it could be done because I did it. You see what I'm saying? Like, I did it. I recorded songs top to bottom. No breaks. You run it all the way through. I say the hook. I say the verse. I say the hook. I say the verse. I say the vamp. I say the hook at the end and the song is done. This is while I was mixing the fucking song myself personally as I was rapping.
Yeah.
So don't tell me you can't do it. And if you can't do it, that's because you wrote a bad song.
Right.
And if you don't like the fact that your song is bad, that's not my fault. I didn't write it. But step your bars up, nigga. That's all.
Yeah, it can be done.
Period. That's all I got. It could be done and it could be great. I did it. Not that it could just be done. It could be done and it could be great. It could be something that people cherish for the majority of their lives after they hear it. Like, people still love it. It might not be for the masses. I ain't got nothing to do with that. It wasn't in the plans. You see what I'm saying? For it to be for the masses. But the motherfuckers that know, so I know I could do it. I know it could be, whether I could do it or not, I know it could be done. That's all. You feel me? So don't feed me that bullshit that this is too hard. If it's too hard, then you're not nice as I am. Admit that. Say that. You're not as nice as me.
But that is the problem, is that people are in this era that people are not sticking to trying to produce high level quality music, but at the same time everyone's still saying they the best. So
that's a fact. You're right. You're right. And we're spoiled. Pro Tools spoiled us. Pro Tools and having access to being able to record in home studios spoiled all this shit. It got us to a point where getting a song done, you see what I mean? Versus having a good song. Did you get the song done? You know what I mean? If you can get it done, then it's a good song. That's not necessarily true. You know what I mean? You shouldn't even have to get it done. You should be able to just do the damn song. I know that's splitting hairs, but I think that those that understand what I'm saying understand. Those that don't, listen to another episode. We'll explain it later. Shit. Right. I don't know, man. We under a time crunch, nigga. So I just wanted to chop it up with you about that, man. I wanted to get your thoughts on it because it was a good conversation I got in last night with the boys, man. And I wanted to bring it to you because this is where I have my real good conversations at. So
yeah.
This is part of what it is, man. You had any more points on this one? Because, I mean, I got something else I want to talk to you about in a little bit.
Nah, I don't have nothing else on this one. We can move to the next.
All right, for sure. Well, shit, with that being said, man, I'm going to ask y'all to go to all the social media outlets that you know of. Shit, and if we ain't there, we ain't there. If we are there, search for Conversate for a few and follow us. Go to YouTube. Make sure you hit the subscription button. Make sure you hit the notification bell. We drop every Friday at 7 a.m. We'll probably be dropping more. Limited edition Futane merch is coming on me. I guarantee it. With that being said, yo, I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This was not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely was not. This is a podcast about hip hop. Make room for the tag.
Conversate for a few. Conversate for a few.
Hustle, welcome, man, they had to send me. Hustle from Raleigh, live from NC with your hosts, John and Alan. Relate to the two, you are now listening to Conversate for a Few. Check it on SoundCloud, debate with your crew. They talking hip-hop from the late to the new. From July till June end, no Fridays for me, tune in. Please listen to this podcast. 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 Please listen to this podcast.